Good morning, and thank you for that introduction. As you said, my name is Todd Spivey from NC State University, and I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about tillage practices in North Carolina cotton. So we all know that cotton seedlings are generally susceptible to cool, wet soils, and they usually result in reduced or non-uniform stands. Therefore, in North Carolina, it's recommended that planting not occur until soil temperatures reach 18 degrees by 10 a.m. For several days in a row. And that even at 15.5 degrees, that cotton emergence is reduced and seedling development is severely slowed. Now, tillage increases the porosity in the soil, which allows for better drained soils and reduces the soil moisture retention. Now, reduced soil moisture retention, in turn, reduces the heat capacity of the soil, allowing the soil to gain or lose heat faster than a soil without tillage. Cover crops, those cover crops that are incorporated through tillage don't alter soil temperatures too much. Standing cover crops can. And then we've also seen long-term studies that have shown that no-till and strip-till systems can improve soil quality without a reduction in yield. So the objectives of this test were twofold. We wanted to look at short-term comparisons of cotton grown and minimal tillage systems with cotton grown and conventional systems at multiple planting dates and with and without a cover crop. We also wanted to evaluate and compare long-term systems, cotton production in continuous minimal till systems with that grown in continuous conventional systems. So first we're going to take a look at the short-term tillage. This study was conducted in 2014 and 15. In Lewiston, North Carolina, and in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. This is a small plot study, 4 rows for the plots by 12 meters long. We use Stoneville variety 4946. We designed this as a split plot with 4 replications, our whole plot being planting date. In 2014 at Lewiston, we planted May 5th and May 28th. At Rocky Mount, May 9th and May 29th. And then in 2015 at Lewiston, we planted May 6th and May 21st. And then in Rocky Mountain, May 8th and May 22nd. Our subplots consisted of our 6 tillage systems with and without a wheat cover. So we were looking at our spring bed or our conventional tillage treatment, a fall strip, a fall bed, a spring strip 2 weeks prior to planting, spring strip till at planting, and then fall bed with spring strip till at planting. Now our fall tillage and cover crop all went in on the same day, so it went in the previous fall. So in Lewiston for the 2014 growing season, the fall tillage and cover crop was planted November 18, 2013, and then at Rocky Mount, November 19, 2013. We used a wheat cover crop and it went in at 145 kilograms per hectare. In 2015, at Lewiston, we put it in December 2nd of 2014, and then in Rocky Mount, December 4th, and again, the same cover crop was used. Now, our spring tillage all occurred the day we planted, with the exception of that strip till 2 weeks prior to planting, which went in 2 weeks prior to planting. We took early season plant samples at 15, 25, and 35 days after planting. Now these came from 1 meter's worth of row, and we dried this down at 100 degrees until dry. From this information, we gathered growth rate per day. In 2015, we took soil temperatures at planting depth, and yield harvested each fall mechanically. We took stand counts, measured plant heights, and did white flower counts. Now the 3 of those will not be presented today in the interest of time. All the means you'll see today were separated using Fisher's protected LSD with an alpha 0.05. So jumping right into the data, looking at our soil temperatures, the most obvious trend that jumps out is soil temperatures were warmer at the later planting date. But really what I want to look at is the fall tillage treatments. Our warmest temperatures occurred in plots where we had no spring tillage. So the fall strip and the fall bed had the warmest soil temperatures across both planting date and location. We also saw that our cover crop increased our temperatures at planting across the board. Moving on into our growth rates, this is 2014 data for 35 days after planting. We saw a difference in growth rate at the second planting date at Lewiston and the first planting date at Rocky Mount. There's a lot of differences here, but really what I want to point out is the spring strip till 2 weeks prior to planting had the greatest early season growth rate at both of those times. Moving forward into 2015, this is the same information taken in 2015. The differences we saw this year were both at Lewiston at both planting dates. And again, we see at the first planting date at Lewiston, that spring strip till 2 weeks prior to planting was among the highest at the first planting date, and it was the highest at the second planting date in terms of grams per day growth rate. In 2014, we saw minor yield differences at the first planting date at Lewiston and the second planting date at Rocky Mount. The second planting date at Lewiston, however, we saw some greater differences here, and this is probably due to the shortened growing season for that later planted cotton. And the lower, the treatments that yielded the lowest here were also the treatments that had the lowest early season growth rate from that previous table. The biggest trend here is that the spring strip till 2 weeks prior to planting that had the highest growth rate was also our highest yielder across the board. In 2015, there were no interactions between planting date and tillage, so this is information is presented across planting date by location. So we saw minor differences there in Rocky Mount, and again, we see that spring strip till 2 weeks prior to planting is among the highest here. So to pull all this back together, our soil temperatures were highest in plots without spring tillage and also in plots with a cover. Our early season cotton growth rates were the highest in strip-tilled plots 2 weeks prior to planting. And also, when yields differed by planting data at each planting date environment, when we saw yield difference, the strip-tilled plots 2 weeks prior to planting was the only treatment to be among the highest yielding at all of those planting date environments. Now moving along quickly into the long-term tillage. This test was initiated in the fall of 2013 and conducted in the growing seasons of 2014 and 15. It was conducted at the Central Crops Research Station in Clayton, North Carolina. And these were large plots. So we had eight rows wide by 55 meters long in 2014 and 26 meters in 2015. We planted FiberMax variety 1944. Now in 2014, we set this up as a randomized complete block design with three replications, and we planted May 14th. In 2015, we wanted to add planting data in as a factor. Being a long-term study, we had to retain the current treatment arrangement. So in order to do this, we designed it as a split block with three replications, whole block being planting date and subplot, our tillage systems. Our planting dates in 2015 were May 5th and May 19th. This left-hand column of the table here shows you the tillage treatment as I refer to them throughout. So we have our fall rip and bed, which was our annual fall rip and bed. Our fall bed 2013, it was initially ripped and bedded in the fall of 2013, but each fall from there on out was just remaking of the beds. It was not ripped. Our no-till 2013 was ripped and bedded in the fall of 2013, and then continuous no-till after that. We have our continuous no-till, our strip-till, which is just our annual spring strip-till, and then our conventional spring rip and bed. We harvested the cotton each fall mechanically, and in 2015, we began taking soil resistance measurements. We took these measurements at planting, and then again after harvest, from 0 to 30 centimeters. These means presented to you today are separated using Fisher's Protected LSD with an alpha 0.05. In late 2015, we began taking soil water content with a PR26 profile probe, and in the interest of time, we're not going to discuss this today. So jumping right into it, our soil resistance, this is presented 0 to 30 centimeters in 5-centimeter increments. And the most obvious trends here are that the no-till treatments had the greatest soil resistance at all depths, and the conventional had the least. Now, take in mind, this is directly after our spring tillage had occurred. What I want to point out with the no-till 2013, from 0 to 10 inches, it was the second greatest in soil resistance. From 10 to 30 centimeters deep, however, after being ripped a full season prior, it was no different in soil resistance than any of the rest of the treatments. Moving on to after harvest, the same measurement after harvest. Again, we only saw differences here from 5 to 20 centimeter depths, but again, the no-till treatment had the greatest soil resistance at these depths. And here, the no-till 2013, after two full growing seasons, the soil resistance was no different than the conventional spring ripping bed that had been ripped twice in the same time span since the no-till had been ripped in the initial fall. In 2014, we saw minor yield differences. The plots with the greatest yields had some form of raised beds. This included stale beds raised in the previous fall of 2013. So even that no-till 2013 with the initial rip and bed in the fall was on stale beds. In 2015, we saw no yield difference. So to pull it all back together, our soil resistance was greatest in no-till plots and was the least in conventional plots at both planting and after harvest. However, after two full growing seasons, the no-till 2013 had similar resistance measurements to conventional raised beds. So again, the no-till 2013 was ripped in the fall of 2013, and the conventional raised beds had been ripped twice in that same time span. In 2014, we saw higher yields in plots that had some form of raised beds, whether that be raised in the spring or raised in the previous fall, and then we saw no yield differences in 2015. Now, the short-term tillage study is going to be continued in 2016 at both locations, and then the long-term tillage study is going to be continued in its current location for further evaluation of tillage systems on soil quality as well as cotton growth over time. These are the sources used for this presentation. I need to thank the staff at the Central Crops Research Station, our technician Shep Lassiter, as well as my graduate committee. I need to thank Cotton Incorporated and the North Carolina Cotton Producers Association for their support of my projects. And that will conclude my remarks for this morning. And with that, I'll be glad to take any questions.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Quick question is, what depth are you measuring soil temperature? And follow up question is, you mentioned that cover crop treatments had higher soil temperatures at planting no cover crop. Why is that?
We were measuring the soil temperatures at a 5 centimeter depth. As far as the cover crop, we saw an increase in it. I saw several papers that said that a standing cover crop can cause increased soil temperatures, but at the same time, I've read plenty of other papers that say stubble left in a field or a cover crop that's mowed down can reduce soil temperatures. As far as why, I'm not 100% sure. It's just what we saw in the data.
I had a question about your crop growth rates that you present up there. So it said grams per day, I think. So what's your, usually it's grams per meter squared land area per day or whatever the case may be. How did you measure that?
This was just done per plant.
Okay.
So that was taken down to the plant in the sample that we took. And then it was just gram per day per plant.
That explains why they're so low. Gotcha.
Yeah, that was per plant.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir. Biomass, are you getting off here? That was a wheat cover crop?
Yes, sir. And the question was, what kind of biomass were we getting? And we didn't measure that. And for the 2015 growing season, we put it in kind of late. We put it in December of 2014, and it was already pretty cold. We got a good stand, but as far as the biomass, I'm not sure what we got. And then the cover crop was just burned down with the burn down, the early season burn down application.
We're a little bit ahead of schedule, so we can have another question if you got one. All right, let's give them a hand.
Thank you.